K-8-R-U-H.
Well, look who popped out on Prince Spaghetti Day. W-A-R-C-Y says good morning.
Good morning, Donald. How was the race?
No race until this Sunday. Last weekend was practice and qualifying. A lot of accidents, a lot of penalties, a lot of just a mess. Thank God I don't do it for a summertime job anymore. I don't even know why they're calling some of these penalties they're calling, but it is what it is. And anyway, but the race is this weekend, and we're looking at about 60 degrees with partly sunny skies, so, yep, that's a good thing.
Very cool. Are you going back down, or you were just down there for the one weekend?
No, there's four of us that go down every year, and we've been doing it for quite some time now that I'm pretty much out of the IndyCar side of officiating. I don't do that anymore. Only worked one race, two races since 2018 when I stepped away from that side of it. Like I say, I'm on the sports car side now. And I may be going back next year, too, to that because they're adding an additional endurance race. And that's all the races I do, races that are 6 hours long or longer, the max being 24 hours. You have 24 hours of continuous racing going. You need all hands on deck. And, yep, those are the ones that you enjoy working. You eat well, too. That's another story for another day.
Sounds like fun. I bet it's quite the experience being around all those cars for long periods of time. So that's awesome.
Sounds like nobody else is up yet. Yeah, it is. It's exciting. It's fun. I mean, there's a fun element to it, but there's the serious side, the officiating side, you know, cheaters and, you know, things that you're not supposed to be doing. And sometimes people get caught. Sometimes it's an oversight. It happens by accident. You just got to determine was it an accidental oversight or were they actually cheating. So, it's challenging. It's rewarding. It's, number one priority is keeping everybody safe. And when I mean everybody, we're talking not just race drivers. We're talking to the common fan. You know, a guy who's there with his young son, and his young son might just wander off into an area that he or she may not be supposed to be in, and our job is to watch out for that kind of stuff, too. So, yeah, it's a lot of responsibility, but, yeah, we have our moments of fun, and we have our moments of comical things. But, again, there's many of stories I can tell about that, but that's for another time and another day. So, yep. Anybody else out there? I mean, I know Dakota's been out there lately. And if he's gone, he's up yet. I think Sean might be taking a personal day. I guess he's got family in town or family in the area. And that's what might be going on. If not, it's just going to be you and me.
Yep, sounds like nobody's out there. Well, unfortunately, I called out near the end of my ride. I'm pulling into the parking lot now. I was just seeing who was out there and haven't paid a whole lot of attention in the last few days, so I didn't know what time they were getting on. Maybe I'll listen in about 10 minutes when I get into the office or something and see if other folks hop on. But for now, I'm pulling into the parking lot. So I'll catch up with you soon, Donald. This is K-E-8-R-U-H, and I'll be clear after your final.
T-O-T-D-I-S.
Ah, good morning, Dakota. We just had Anthony sign off. They try to pick the radio when he gets back into the building there. He just arrived at work and parked. Happy Wednesday. Not much new here except for this drizzly, crazy wet weather.
Yeah, I could really do without the rain. And I always forget that Anthony is an early bird, and I wonder how long he's doing that for.
I guess I'll take it. I think he's good for the summer. He's got it like that or throughout, you know, not the whole summer, he said, but I remember he said he's got it for, like, through the summer. I don't know. Supposedly gets off at 3:30 now, and, yeah, so... Oh, man, I'm telling you, I'm just sick and tired of this wet weather and cold weather. I was talking to the maintenance supervisor yesterday. I saw him. I said, you know, your maintenance worker that replaced a little gerbil on the wheel and got my air conditioning going, you got to fire that guy. Said, why do I got to fire him? I said, because you did too good of a job. Not only is my apartment cold, but, you know, everything within 100 miles of the campus is cold. You know, it's been really, really good. Too good.
Yeah, this has been a brutal, brutal spring. I guess summer doesn't technically start till what, mid-June, though, according to the calendar? At this rate, I don't know if we're ever going to get a summer. I think that was Sean. Go ahead. Wait, Sean's not on today, I don't think. I think he's got some things he's got to handle. So whoever that was, go ahead.
Wow, I'm doing impressions of Sean now. I must be getting good at this. You can usually pick out my voice. No, that was me who finished off my sentence by saying too good. Anyhow, yeah, I'm just, like I said, we have a massive field, maybe about a couple hundred yards deep alongside the Quinder here, and it's just a wooded field. Nothing's on it. There's no anything going on, but it's thick, and Ascension Macomb Oakland Hospital is on the other side of it, and that's about a 5-story hospital. Before I left for Indy, I could see the hospital. When I got up yesterday morning or Monday morning and stuff, the hospital was gone. It was just covered by trees. I can't even see the downtown Detroit skyline anymore. I won't see it now until late fall, early winter. That's how thick it gets out here. And then, of course, you can't see the ground. You can't see the deer or any critters, foxes, whatever goes running around in there. It's nice to look at now because it's all nice and green, and the colors in the fall are nice, but... Like I say, I've got one big tree right outside my window here that's probably about, maybe 30, 40 feet taller than my balcony. So I'd say it's probably about a 120-foot tree. But that tree's going to come down soon because it's dying out. And so, yeah, I'm still above the skyline or the tree line of the field, so my signal will still get out somewhat.
That really did sound like someone else, so now I feel like an idiot. Well, hopefully they leave the trees. I'm sure Ascension probably owns that, and they're sitting on it for when they need to expand their campus. But too many buildings going up, too many trees getting cut down, and I am by no means a tree hugger. I just can't stand cities.
K8RUH, what's going on, Dakota? I'm back for a few minutes, Donald.
Yay! Dakota, go ahead.
Morning, Anthony. How's the early days treating you? I was just thinking, it's like, man, I would love to do a 7 to 3:30. That gives you a lot more afternoon than getting home at 5.
You know, it's been tough a few days, but getting up early. But otherwise, this is the schedule, man. You know, I still end up getting home and doing a little work every now and again, but, man, it is nice to be home by 4 o'clock. I was just thinking on my way home yesterday, I would do 6 to 2:30 if I was in a position to do that, but definitely not the role that I'm in today would I be able to work that, those hours. So, but yeah, man, what a great schedule this is.
Back in my younger days, I was a meat cutter for Farmer Jack's, and I would start at 7 in the morning and be home by 3:30, or out by 3:30. And that was the schedule to have, but the opposite end of the schedule was like 2:30 to 11 at night, especially when some of these Farmer Jack's were starting to open up at 24 hours a day schedule. But there was a schedule we used to start in some stores 5 to 1:30 and 6 to 2:30. That's when you had to come in on a Monday morning and clean the counters and when nobody's really in the store and you got to go out there with a hose and pull the counter and all the stuff in the refrigeration and wash down the counters, the grates, the coils underneath, check for leaks, stuff like that. So that was like maintenance work. But you were out of there at 1:30, 2:30 in the afternoon. In the summertime, that was nice. That was a nice schedule. But that's about the only time I ever had a luxury schedule like that. Dakota?
I can't complain too much. 2 to 3 days a week, I'm 7 to 4. So it's not terrible. The downside is haul road and trying to get home at that time. That adds, 35, 40 minutes. The other days, 7 to 5, 7 to 6, whatever, as they come. But 7 to 3:30, I agree. That is the sweet spot. My one of my first career job was 7 to 4 consistently, and it was like we were hourly but capped, so it was really kind of a salary position. So you were 8 hours a day, period. And 4 o'clock, like if you didn't get overtime approved, I was out the door. So it was kind of nice because I didn't have the responsibilities I have now, so I could actually walk away from stuff. But yeah, man, especially during the summer, that is 100% the way to go.
Yeah, in the summer, it's perfect. It's super easy, to get up, not on days like today, but, the sun's coming up before 6 o'clock now. So, you're rising with the sun, and then I'm home for, 5, 6, 7 hours before I go to bed, and can get all kinds of stuff done. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, for me, like I said, working the schedules when I was working at Farmer Jack's, we got the midnight crews that come in and do restocking, and, they're on a totally 12-hour different shift or so, and or an 18-hour different shift. I would stop, they come in at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and they don't leave until 6 in the morning, as the day crews are coming in, and it's just like you just pass each other, Hey, Dakota, how you doing? How's the wife and family? All right, see you in a couple days. Bye. That's about it. That's how it worked. But, it wasn't, like I said, for me it wasn't too bad. We never really had any overnight shifts between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. What was in the counter for people to buy, those 24-hour stores, that's all that was there. No custom cutting, nothing. You just shut the place down because every night you got to tear the place down and clean and sanitize it. That's an every night thing. And you're in there with power machines to do that. It's not just learning how to mature and package and merchandise the product. You got to clean up too. And I don't know. I don't think they ever brought in teams to do that. Like a night crew that would come in and scrub things down for you. But, because meat cutting back in the day was a journeyman skill. It was a union journeyman skill. I think I still have my journeyman's card from 74 rather. I might have it. But that's a union job, union scale. All the things from what unions used to be. But, those were the days. Dakota?
I remember as a kid, that was the grocery store that we went to. It was Farmer Jack, the one, it was now a Kroger at 30 in Van Dyke, and I think I would trade Kroger for Farmer Jack any day of the week. I'm just a little, Kroger's not the best grocery store, but Farmer Jack, I do remember that. I love that place. And growing up, my mom would stay at home, so, like, we didn't eat out or anything. So, like, we'd go to the grocery store, and we would eat at home. And that's pretty much what I remember of Farmer Jack. Now it's the opposite. I feel like I eat out every day, and I hate it. But, Anthony.
Yep, I remember that there was a Farmer Jack at Cass and Grossbeck in Mount Clemens growing up. That's the store that we always shopped at. And then they put a Kroger, Crocker, and 16 Mile. And then we started going to that one. But, yeah, Farmer Jack, always. There was one right downtown Mount Clemens on Market Street. And it's where we went, right next to Perry Drugs.
I worked the grand opening at the one at Market Street in downtown Mount Clemens across from the old, it's the new court building's old parking structure, which is now demolished and gone. But yeah, that building is no longer a grocery store. It is now a county administration building, annex type thing with a big new glass tower administration building, but that's what's in there. I didn't think there's a Secretary of State's office in there now. And then they built a Buffalo Wild Wings on there and other things, but yeah, I don't get there over there that much anymore, so I don't know exactly what's there, but I know there's some kind of Macomb County Services building and possibly a Secretary of State. That store was the old number 65. Store number 65. Did that grand opening.
Okay. The curve is still where I usually drop out on my sounding real quick.
Coming in pretty rough. But, hey guys, I got to get to it, so I'll try to hop on again tomorrow or this afternoon and catch up with you gentlemen later. This is KERUH. I'll talk to you soon.
Okie dokie. Have a good day. Stay dry. I mean, it's not going to rain hard, but you have to go outside or something. Just run between the mists, I guess, is where it's going to be like a misting rain all day. For identification, W8RCY. Dota, yeah, you're sounding a little scratchy there, so I figured you're in that bad area. But you want to try it again? If not, we'll put this on pause for a minute and see if there's anybody else out there.
Have a good one, Anthony. I'll catch up to you later, man. Donald, guys, is a stretch. I don't get it. It's an absolute hole where the radio does not want to get out. Speaking of radio, I was in my attic last night. So I had a full wire with a transformer. I was able to see stuff up there, and surprisingly, it worked. So for the time being, I at least have an HF antenna again.
Yeah, my experience with HF was back in the day when I bought a Radio Shack shortwave radio. And listened in, you know, ran on like 6B batteries if you didn't have the AC cord. But, no, I just don't have an interest in talking around the world. I never did, and that was part of the reason why I never got into amateur. But, like I say, I still use commercial radios, radios for racing, GMRS since 1978, and I'm just looking to expand. And you know, the late Professor Don was the one who twisted my arm to help with Sean, Phil, all these other brighter minds than mine got me to do it. And in fact, my older sister has a friend she grew up with, and her husband was a ham operator. And when I was 18, she said, oh, no, you got to get into this, you know, and everything. No. I got my license back in August. I called my sister and I told her I did it. I said, you need to call Barry out in Jackson, Mary's husband, and tell him that I finally got my ham ticket. And he couldn't believe it, but I haven't had a chance to try to talk to him yet on anything. Now with this new technology, there's got to be a way I can get out to Jackson somehow. But, yeah. Next project for me is getting an antenna out here. with the spoilage that we were talking about, something that will penetrate into downtown. After I get the rest of my Motorola's updated, I got a Motorola mobile unit, 40-45 wide unit for a base station, and I'm just running that small glass antenna. That makes it into downtown just fine, but I just want to get something better. So I'm looking into beams and things like that, small beams I can mount on my balcony in the corner and have it point down the throat of Detroit and go from there. Well, the plus side of you getting your ticket is to experiment with a whole bunch of stuff now. I always say it's a ticket to learn, not a ticket to operate. You've got that going for you. Just try out whatever you want. See what works, see what doesn't. That's half the fun, in my opinion. And I got on the radio on kind of a bet / joke. That buddy was a cop. And I got a bunch of guys in the department to try to take the test, and I couldn't pass it. No, it's not. I'm like, I guarantee you I can get it. So, he bet me that I couldn't. Regretted not getting general, but I kind of, like I said, did it as a joke. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. So eventually, I think a year later, I got general. And kind of snowballed out of control from there. I'm not huge on talking around the world either. I'm not big on the whole digital FPA stuff. What I do like, kind of sitting around listening, and the POTUS stuff. I do like the local contact, stateside contact, and I've been getting more interested in local contacts, like 80 meters, to where, you know, the guys in Macomb County and I can all actually hear each other. But I agree, I'm not interested in VXing to Europe and Africa and all that. It's cool, I've done it, but it does not pique my interest as much as just hanging out on HF somewhere and, you know, talking to someone like we're talking right now.
Nobody else out there.
Like I said, my footprint is UHF. Been in UHF forever. So VHF, HF, 7-800 stuff that you can do, 900 stuff you can do. And don't want to go that far. And you're talking about law enforcement. Yeah, I grew up in St. Clair Shores, and I've known a lot of law enforcement personnel that have come and gone. Scanners was my thing, and you might be a little too young to remember crystal scanners, where you had to buy those little things that were the size of a chiclet, stick them in a little box, and turn it on, and the little lights scan like the front of the kit car, and you're listening to all your local city, municipalities, police, and fire departments. So that's how radio started more with me, with scanners before, of course it was TV in the 70s, but, real serious communications came for me with scanners and law enforcement communications and things like that. So that's how I got into it. As far as being a cop, I would have never become a cop, even though I was interested in it. And all these guys that helped me get my licenses and my tickets and my equipment, a lot of the people in the Shores Police Department were wanting me, we'll help you get it, because, it's all different now. You got academies, you got to get a degree, you have to get a law enforcement degree. That's what goes on today. But back in the day, it's like trying out for the school basketball team. And it was totally different back then, but there's an oral part of the test, and it's like, scenarios and things like that. And I was just one of these guys that would have shot first, then asked questions later, And it's like, hey, why did you shoot me? I said, well, you robbed the bank. Well, you gonna call for an answer? No, I need you for you to tell me answer the question. Why'd you rob the bank? Man, I'm bleeding out here. I don't care. If you didn't rob the bank, I wouldn't have shot you, but you still got to answer the questions, kind of a thing. That was my mentality. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Hey, TMR.
Morning, Phil. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? Just finished my drop-off, turned it on, heard some chatter, wanted to say good morning.
good morning. Dakota's up next on the rotation, and then you.
Yeah, Donald, I actually was starting school for law enforcement my freshman semester at Ferris, and then I decided I didn't want to do that, so I was right there with you. I didn't want the liability, responsibility, all that stuff. Phil, on the other hand, Phil's a new ham. He's kind of going through similar learning curves that you're dealing with right now with the node. I know you haven't gotten that far yet, but yeah. So say hi to Phil. Phil's a new ham in the area, and hopefully he's bringing some more on.
Good morning, Phil. Welcome. Call sign here is WHRCY. First personal is Donald, and I'm out in the Madison Heights area. And, yeah, I just got my ticket back in August after a 50-year delay, or 50 years of procrastinating, I guess is the proper word. And Cody and I are talking about what pretty much got us into radio and so on and so forth. But I started in, you know, scanners, TV radios, and then I got involved with commercial radio, GMRS, stayed there all these years. So that's it on me. Can we get your call sign one more time so I can put it in the log, please? And again, welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Donald. Nice to meet you. Call sign is K8TMR.
K8, C as in Tom, MR?
Yes, sir. And the name's Phil, and I'm kind of Mount Elmont. But currently I'm driving back from my morning drive to take my son to school in Warren, so.
That's further than Dakota's got to drive. Warren to Elmont, and Warren to, or Elmont to, I think, Macomb Township or Clinton Township out there. Wow, that's a drive. Over to you, Dakota.
Yep, there's not a whole lot close to Elmont, and this whole 53 thing, I still don't know what's going on. Like, the off-ramp at 53 was backed up a mile, and there's no cones out or anything, so just adding to my commute. Phil, you sound fantastic, by the way. I know you're probably right on top of the repeater, but you sound great. And you guys may or may not have talked on GMRS, because if I'm not mistaken, so that's where you started.
Yeah, I think your voice sounds familiar, Donald. I did start on GMRS, had that for about a year. Actually had no interest on the ham side and kind of was talking to Jack back and forth, and when he got his ticket, kind of motivated me and ended up studying, taking a test maybe a month ago, a little over a month ago. So I ended up getting my technician, and then about a week later ended up studying and getting the general. So here I am now trying to learn this side of it. So over to you, Donald.
Okay. Well, when I put your information in my logbook, if I do a cross-check, I'll find your GMRS call sign there and hook it up, and yeah, I'll probably remember you. But I've been on GMRS since 78, except for a couple of 5-year gaps during my time of marriage and stuff like that. But I've been out on the Troy repeater a lot more so than the network side. But I've been around, and I'm so old I have to be around. I'm this old. So, again, welcome. And you're already ahead of me because I don't have my general yet. I have other obligations, and the goal is to start studying probably, I was going to say mid-July, but let's just say August 1st, I'll start studying for the general. I don't want it. I don't need it. I don't need, because of my restrictions here, I live in an HOA. senior citizen campus, so I can't be putting antennas up around. Lucky to get away with what I get away with. But, so that need isn't there. I want to do it for the prestige, and I want to do it for people like the late Professor Don from the GMRS side. He was a, an extra ham and all that. He was very knowledgeable. He was very arm-twisting for me to get my ham ticket. And then all the other guys that are on both sides of the frequency band, ham operators that are GMRSers and GMRSers, who became ham operators because of the guys in ham. So there's a great group of guys here on the amateur side that have knowledge from the GMRS side, like us. So it all balances out a wash, so to speak. So welcome. I'll get you on there. AAT and Tom MR. Okay? I got it written down.
Up and getting your gun over how much all these things are. The never-ending rabbit hole of gear and things you want to drive. I'm trying to not peer pressure him, but I know at some point, well, one of these days you can just come over and flip around on my radio and see what you think before you buy anything.
Yeah, no, like I said, I started with the technician and wasn't sure about doing anything in the general, but I figured while everything was fresh in my head, might as well study and try to get it done before life gets in the way for the summertime and everything. But I am definitely interested, Dakota, in checking it out and seeing what it's all about. Yeah, like I said, there's way too many rabbit holes you can go down in this, and I think I've done a good job of starting to go down more than I know of already, but with some help from you, I think I'm getting it a little more, so I appreciate it. Back over to you, Donald. Comment.
Morning, Joe. Go ahead.
This is KE4ZYQ. Donald, if that was you, boy, you recognize one word of a voice's transmission. That's pretty good if that was you, Donald. The fellow that's in the HOA that's talking about being a general, you're not alone. I've been wanting to do that upgrade myself. But if you're in the HOA, don't know that you can, if you have a HF antenna or HF radio, get an antenna. I got a Comet toy box antenna. It's a vertical and multi-adjustable one, very small, not very big, and it has multi-sections to it. But look up Comet Toy Box Antenna. It's got a counterpoise and a jumper cable, and I turned it into a magnet mount on a file cabinet. I actually, under my license for technician, was able to contact somebody in the Bahamas last summer on 10 meters within my bandwidth allocation with that toy box antenna on the first floor on a file cabinet. So there's no limit even as a technician to try to do HF or do something in the HOA. As Dakota might know, I have an attic antenna for my dual band 2 meter, 70 centimeters. So where there's a will, there's a way sometimes. And I'm not sure who gets it. Go ahead, Dakota, take it. And you guys have a good day, good morning, good rest of the day. KE4ZYQ, over to you, Dakota.
I recognize the voice, Joe. I actually have that antenna, and I was able to, when I had a 705, I was able to work Ireland on 10 meters, 5 watts on my 10 meters, so I know for a fact it works. Go ahead, Donald.
Well, my voice impressions or something, I don't know, but Joe, that was Dakota that called you out, and I live in a high-rise, HOA, and I'm up about close to 90 feet up in the air, and I have an on-glass antenna for my base station, and it's pointing, well, it's not pointing, but it's directed towards Detroit, so I can hit the GMRS side towards Detroit, and I can hit the amateur side towards Detroit. Right now, I'm working on I'm updating my fleet of Motorola radios and adding 70 centimeter to them and some BMR and other odds and ends. And then that'll be followed by a node. But getting back on talking around the world, I do have a dedicated Japanese back DMR radio that runs strictly on Wi-Fi. There's no SIM cards in it. There's no other cards in it or anything like that. It's strictly a DMR radio. It's made by Alinco, I think, and Alinco is made, you know, for those Wi-Fi things that you can put in your car and talk direct like the old Nextel systems. But instead of state or nationwide, these go around the world. So I have a few contacts on the Internet Radio Network band. It's called IRN in short, and I have a number for them. I have an ID number with them, and I talked to about two or three people over there just for fun, you know. So I really don't have the full interest of making it part of my hobby. I'm getting out of radio in a sense because of my commercial work, and I just decided to pick up an end to keep it going. That's pretty much my track record. Let's see, I think it got a little mixed up, so I haven't heard from Phil in a while, so go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I like Dakota said earlier, I just got a node, mainly because of where I'm, my location. Kind of hard to hit the repeaters, but just got that all squared away and trying to familiarize myself and learn everything there is to learn about that, or maybe not everything, but at least enough to get by. But so far, so good. Yeah, that's pretty much the extent of what I got going right now. Just like I said, trying to pick up as much knowledge as I can, and so far enjoying the hobby. So I think back over to you, Dakota.
Real quick, where are you at?
I am, what is that, 17 in Van Dyke.
Okay, I'm just trying to keep tabs on your signal and your location, making sure everything sounds good. I think you're fine. That thing sounds pretty damn good. You get a little static every now and again, but it's probably if you're driving between buildings. Joe, if you're still listening, I got a Comet GP3 in the attic, and I just put an HF antenna in the attic, too, and I live on over 2 acres. So you can do a lot with a little. You don't need much, especially if you just want to listen. But I did some FT8 last night just to check the PSK reporter, see how I was getting out, and I was getting all the way into Africa, Europe. I even had a ping in Australia on 20 meters, so just a 60-foot wire, 60-foot wire and a 5-1 baling. It's doing enough for the time being. So, but yeah, it's a never-ending rabbit hole. It's all about how much money you want to spend and how much time you want to put into it, really. Donald?
Well, the rabbit hole for me is expanding my DMR footprint, because I am on the statewide Moto Turbo system. That's a subscription. And that's kind of like a VPN network for me, because the only people that are on it are people that I put on it. So there's myself and four other people that are on my so-called network. And, of course, it's digital, it's DMR, full quality, yada, yada, yada. But now I'm expanding that DMR. The next step is getting the node. I've already got my frequency picked out. I got my radio ID done. So once I get all my radios updated, or at least two of them, the mobile and the base, I'm talking to, you know, you've mentioned it to me. Sean's mentioned it to me. I've got a lot of guys that are willing to help me. And I'm looking at nodes online. I'm looking at people who build nodes and so on and so forth. I don't need anything absolutely ridiculous. I just want a node that'll do two things, one being All-Star and the other one whatever the next popular flavor is at Baskin-Robbins. Give it a try, but don't want to go too far overboard. I just want to stay up to date, stay with the newest things that are out there and available. I would rather go forward in technology than backwards.
I mean, we all looked at that Mescastic thing, and we just found nothing in it to get out of it. But at least I'm willing to explore and look at that kind of technology and see what's out there, see what if not, it can benefit it or not. What we could use it for, that's like one of the things Sean was talking about when it came out. It's like, okay, we can't really use it for what this is, but use it for something else. And, you know, those are the kind of things that interest me more than actually wanting to talk halfway around the world. Bill?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I dabbled down the Meshcastic side also, a couple of guys at work and it's just a good idea, you know, a neat idea, but it just didn't seem to do kind of what we were hoping. I think it was, the range is just limited, and then obviously out where I live, there wasn't many, so it was hard to play around with it. Over to you, Dakota.
E4 ZYQ.
Go ahead, Joe.
I fibbed earlier. I was sounded like I was signing off, but I couldn't help but want to come back in briefly, guys. One thing that I was able to do, and I'm saying this non-bragging wise, just amazed. Dakota, like you said, you got a Comet GP3, I think you said in the attic. I checked you on input frequency. Boy, you booming in here over here, very good and clear, like you're in the room literally. But, guys, the one thing that I didn't expect to do, but a summer or two back, I put in the frequency for the ISS going over. And I planned it one morning back a year or two ago. I planned it to try to get into the repeater of the ISS. I was hoping to get the astronauts, but they don't always talk on the radio. But I did get two stations contacted, worked them in New York and one in West Virginia through the ISS with a Yaesu 7250 or Yaesu 991A, excuse me. I was able to get in there through the attic antenna, and I put two frequencies. Let me reset the repeater here. KE4ZYQ. I put two frequencies in for the receive safe frequency, so help for the Doppler effect, and then one frequency for transmit. And I couldn't believe I got the two stations in New York and one in West Virginia to reply and contact and give me their call sign and hear me. But last summer, the ISS went over, and I heard an astronaut, and I wasn't able to get him to hear me, but a fellow ham in Berkeley, Michigan, got in, and I recorded my attempt, but he actually contacted them, and they heard him and identified him, so they worked each other there. So just thought I'd throw that in. Over to you, Dakota. And that was with the Comet GP3 with the ISS. Over to you, Dakota, KE4ZYQ.
Well, Joe, if you're hearing me on the input, I'm at Hall and Plank right now on my mobile, so that's probably why I'm booming. 25 watts, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm not too far from you. At home, though, I am able to open up UMP. Not great, but I can get into it. But, yeah, I think I'm going to make this one my last year. I got to get going inside. I'm way late today, but good talking to all you guys. Phil, I hope you got your note situated. Any questions, shoot me a text. And Donald, pleasure as always. Good talking to you guys, and I'll catch up with everyone later. NADVF, I'll be clear.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sign out, too. I got to make that long walk, which I think is about 10 steps from my bedroom to the kitchen. Living on a senior campus, they make it so you don't have to walk far. But, yeah, I get myself a cup of coffee and actually my second cup. And get going from there. So, Phil, welcome. Like I said, I'll look you up on my spreadsheet. Probably have you and recognize you. I'll get back to you sometime today or tomorrow. Joe, thank you for your input. Always a pleasure hearing your comments. You're a wealth of knowledge and experience for us young ham operators in Dakota. Have a great day. Make the best of it. And again, just a great round table, well organized. W8 RCY. First person was Donald, located in Madison Heights. Everybody have a great day.
All right, Donald. Well, it was nice talking to you. Dakota, have a good day. I'm sure I'll talk to you later. And hope you guys all have a good day. And we'll talk to you all soon. I got to get going myself. Pulling into the store right now. Got to make one stop. So this is K8CMR.
Thanks for letting me jump in. This is KE4ZYQ. You guys have a great day. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay happy, stay out of trouble, or don't get caught. It's my motto. KE4ZYQ clear, and thanks for the flowers there. 7-3.
KEWOJ.
KEWOJ. Where you been hiding it, man? And how's Rambo doing, KE4ZYQ?
Hey, Joe, good morning. Yeah, old Rambo, he's rowdy as ever. And I got the scars to prove it.
Well, you know, the next time you go to a doctor's office for a yearly checkup or whatever, unless they already know, you better be careful because they might think you're doing self-mutilation or something. They might have to put you in a padded room or something or try to. You got to be careful now. You better take a picture or video of the cat and say, oh, no, 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 I'm not sitting here cutting my arms up with a knife. Hi, hi.
Yeah, they always let your jacket or whatever off or taking a blood pressure kind of thing, and they see my arms and they're like... Immediately start. Are you getting abused at home? Blah, blah, blah. Are you feel comfortable at home? And I got to laugh at them. Say no. I've just got a real rowdy cat that just kind of likes to tear into me. And they still don't kind of believe me. They look at me kind of funny. Like who would let a cat do that? You know.
Well, what's play for a kitten is almost hand to hand combat for a human. But I have to laugh talking about going to a doctor's office for a checkup. I'm not going to do those yearly checkups that are Medicare related. You don't have to do those to get your Social Security, I understand. And I used to laugh when they tell you, I'm going to tell you three things that have nothing to do with anything, but I want to see if you can remember them. I said, okay, well, I'll tell you three things and see if you remember my three things and see if you can remember them, you know. But anyhow, back to you.
Yeah, the cardiologists always want you to do stress tests. You know, they apparently they make good money at it, and you know, it's apparently no big deal to them, but it is to me. You know, they take you right to the edge, kind of thing, and some nurse is standing there going, "Relax, relax." You know, she don't understand the process, which makes me even more nervous. You know, they pump that stuff into you, and they get the heart racing. When the heart starts racing, the body's going, hey, this guy's really working, man. We need more air. So you start huffing and puffing. Anyway, so now when the cardiologists keep bugging me for a stress test, I tell them, well, I'll tell you what, I make a deal. I got a car outside with bald tires on it. It's me and you jump in the car, hit the freeway. We'll run it up to 120, 130 mile an hour for about 10, 15 minutes and see what happens. And then I'll come back and take your stress test. They usually drop it at that point.
KE4ZYQ. I hear you on that. I like the doctors. Well, the ones don't do it anymore. My primary don't do it. But a while back, they always want to do a stress test for me, too. I says, no, I can't get on a treadmill. I can't. Oh, well, we'll do a chemical stress test. We'll put something in your body that tells your heart to race like heck. And see if you can tolerate it, see if you don't blow a gasket. And I says, nah, I swore off drugs of any kind that cause trouble and change my heart rate. I'll just look at my bills when the bills come in for my mail, for my utilities and that. That's stress enough, you know, let alone budgeting myself for groceries or anything. I said, I'm always stress test throughout the months and weeks, so nah, I'll pass on both of those. Thank you.
Yeah, Roger that. If you want some stress, buy yourself an Anytown 878 UV2+. I still haven't got that cotton picker working.
Man, that's a bummer to hear, seriously. That's not good. Yeah, stress is trying to plan out not only your bills, but if you go out and try to get groceries, do it in between the rain, the storm, the tornadoes, the bad weather, the cold weather, which jacket to wear. That's stress enough. I don't need to get stressed. Now, I handle it very well. It's called get away from stress and don't deal with people with stress. So I got it under control so far, to some degree. Back to you.
Yeah, I just sort of resigned myself to that 878 just being an analog radio. I just can't get DMR to work on it.
That's like the 991 awful. I use it mainly for HF. I can't remember last time I turned it on for 2 meters, 70 centimeters, whatever. So it's just strictly an HF antenna, or radio rather, right now. So, yep, it'll last a long time if I don't use it on anything but HF, maybe. Hopefully, cross my fingers.
Yeah, I don't bother with mine either. It's just too expensive. I've got half the price in the radio. Halfway through the warranty, I got half the price of the radio again in shipping and insurance back and forth to California, replacing them cheesy finals they put in there. So I just don't even turn it on anymore.
KEWOJ, KE4CYQ, do you turn on the 300 you said? Do you use the 300 or is that what you're on right now?
Yeah, when I'm downstairs I use the 300D, but most of the time it seems like I haven't been turning them on downstairs, and the only time I seem to get on, I'm on that HT, the Chinese HT, without 10 watts.
Well, now that you mention it, sounds great. Making the trip, full signal, full modulated volume. Readability is great. I wouldn't have known you were on that one that you're using. But man, I got to get with you off frequency or something just to see what's up, what's new, what's different. I miss talking to you. I miss the guys. I don't know if they were on vacation today or what. Didn't hear any of the guys going to work on either repeater that I usually catch the regular gang, as you know, and catch the second group of people going on to Northfield to work, so I haven't heard either one today. But that one, what's his name, Vince, on the way to the festival, whatever it's called. I talked to him quite a ways down to the Ohio, to Xenia.
Yeah, I missed him, apparently. He just said what day he was going. He didn't say what time, so apparently by the time I turned the radio on, he was long gone.
Yeah, it was pretty great how quality. He came in pretty good. He said he heard me down towards the border and all that. So, well, the antenna, the repeater we were on, obviously had a good height and good coverage, good footprint, so... Yeah, I caught him. I think he was elated because he would have been a boring drive just looking at traffic and driving down there, so it seemed like he enjoyed the trip even more, which is the one reason I did it. You know, I'm talking to people in the house, that's no big deal, but I enjoyed it too, so pass the time for him. Time goes faster in the traffic.
Yeah, he seems to be running a pretty decent mobile, too. I know he doesn't seem to have any trouble getting from Metamora down into Detroit and still sounding good.
KE4CYQ. Well, one thing I did, I don't know if I told you or you heard me say to somebody, what I did Friday morning and Saturday afternoon is I went on YouTube, and I look forward to doing it for the heck of it because I can't go down there. I don't have anything to buy, any money to buy anything, so... And the trip would be kind of stressful there and back, let alone having to drive all one day or pay the expense of staying there for overnight, one night. But I watched the live stream video on YouTube on Wednesday morning, or Friday morning, and Saturday afternoon. And those guys, two different people, they walked through the whole thing. So that's the best thing to be in there. It was pretty neat. You know, it was, you know, just like doing Zoom or something with somebody. They had a live feed, literally, and walking around seeing all the booths, the venue, the buildings, the people, everything.
Yeah, I watched some of those. I don't know if it was last year or the year before there, but I don't know. I think it was about 5 minutes in. I was bored to death. Had to find something else to watch.
I'll tell you the shocker that I think I heard more than once, that there was a lot of people disabled or, you know, handicapped that were riding those electric carts, you know, the Amigos. And I heard from several people over time that they charged to rent them $75 a day. That's a lot of money to just go around on a scooter for however many hours. But I guess if you don't have one and you got to get around and you're handicapped, but they were cheap ones that I saw going around, which may have been their own, some of them. But $75, well, that's a lot of green to drop on a scooter, not counting the gas to get there and back, a hotel room, if any, and if you ever buy anything, man, you can take out a loan to do any of that stuff nowadays. Back to you.
And I wonder how long the charge would last on those, because I know the ones in the stores there, it seems like they, even at full charge, they barely make it a tour through the store shopping kind of thing, and by the time you get back to the checkout, you're just about out of juice. You know? I can imagine running around the fairground.
Well, reading up on some of those, just out of curiosity over the last year or two, most of them may last about 4 or 5 miles or 3-4 miles, something like that. Heck, on that ham festival there, I don't think that thing would last, you know, 15, 20 minutes. I don't know. Depends on how much you drive it and if you turn it off. But turning it on and off would probably drain it more than just leaving it on. But lucky to go 3, 4, or 5 miles maybe. I don't know. It's $75 to have to park it somewhere and charge it or something. Then you got to pay to charge it, probably. You pay to run it, pay to charge it. I don't know. I think I'd just try to walk around and then sit down every now and then. Back to you.
Well, it's something that seems to get everybody excited, and a whole lot of people wander over there to check it out. So I guess, I suppose it's a good thing. We hear about it for quite a while before and afterward. It's funny, there's only one that I know of. I think there was another one, what was it, last year or something, down in Florida also.
K-E-W-O-J, K-E-4-C-O-Q. There's one in Florida, I think Orlando or somewhere down there, like you said. And then I think there's another one in Texas. And possibly one out in California, but I don't know, or Colorado, somewhere out west. But I think there's one in Texas area. I don't know if it's Houston or Dallas or one of those big cities. But I'm pretty sure there's one in Texas. Have you ever heard of that?
Nope, just the Ohio and Florida ones.
By recollection, I think the one in Ohio is the biggest of all of them. That it's gotten bigger every year. People all over the world, I think you said it too once before, people all over the world and all different, you know, Canada and all over the United States go to that one in Ohio. So I guess because a lot of major companies usually show up, and I guess with the economy, it depends on which ones show up and if they have anything new or... I can't believe that some of the major companies, if they do have a booth, don't bring some products in, especially new or otherwise, to sell. You know, what better place to sell with the population and people that might buy if they have the money? But I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, they got a new item, but you got to order it online. Well, why did I go to the swap? Or why did I go to the festival, ham festival, if I can't buy the unit I'm looking at? You know, I don't know. They can't drag a lot of stuff, I guess, but You'd think they'd have at least several units of something new. Back to you.
I just keep thinking it'd be interesting to go down there in the middle of it kind of thing and just scan the UHF, VHF, and HF, I suppose, for all the people with HTs and mobiles and trying to keep in touch with all this other group and this group and that group. And I imagine the repeaters get pretty busy down there.
Well, you know what I think? I don't know if this is true, but what I think or assume they might do, a lot of people that go down and meet a lot of other people, is they have their HTs, but they're doing simplex. One of the simplex frequencies, that's where you pick up all different conversations of people walking around in different parts of the area, the grounds, and they're on simplex. Because I know even the guys doing the filming that I've seen, they've talked to people that are there looking for a particular radio or equipment, and they talk to each other while doing the video sometimes, other guys, and they'll say, hey, I found one of the radios you're looking for over here in aisle something, something over here by the big tower. So I think there's a more, possibly more simplex than there are repeaters, because it'd be harder to talk to people. They'll just pick a simplex frequency and say, oh, we'll go on this one and talk in the park here. At least that's something I think they might do. I don't know.
Yeah, so I said it'd be nice to scan the UHF, VHF, and see what's going on there. Some lady just got herself a new little puppy, cute little booger. He's just excited, hopping and jumping and running all over the place. Wish I had that kind of energy.
Well, I was hoping that in this day and age of technology, you and I would benefit from a body transplant, you know, just get a new 22-year-old body. I bet you can't guess what shows on TV right now. Well, maybe you can. I watch it just about every day. Guess which one?
Well, I'm guessing probably Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, you force UIQ. Well, you win the prize. Seeing that film, it's sad to hear or know that Jerry Mathers is the only living person of that show that's alive still. Even his brother in the movie wasn't that old, but I don't know what he died of, but he was a young guy when he passed away. Geez, last year, wasn't long ago. I don't know what it was, but boy. But Jerry Mathers, even all the supporting roles, Eddie and all those guys, Lumpy, those guys weren't that old in the movie. Of course, it's been around a while. But, geez, it's sad to hear that most of them are dead. And Beaumont there, the guy, the father, did a lot of directing. He did the directing of it. Pretty interesting. Pretty funny, though. I've seen these series over and over again, but still never gets too old. Back to you.
Yeah, Amazon Prime's got the full series there, and every so often I'll go over there and see the whole thing start to finish. Along with that, and every once in a while I like to catch Red Green on YouTube there. They've got the whole 300 episodes. It takes a while to finish that one.
Well, Rick, I don't know if you ever watched it much, but there's another show just like Leave It to Beaver that can be addicting if you used to watch it to get old memories. And that's Father Knows Best, with all the family dynamics in that, with the two girls and the boy, Bud. Those were crazy shows back then. Different dynamics, different premise of each movie. Back to you.
Yeah, last day or so I've been watching Death Valley Days. I remember Black and White. Remember that when I was a little kid, too. I think it was it Saturdays? Saturday afternoons or something like that. I can't remember, but I didn't watch it back then, but I do now.
Well, to go back in history, memory lane there, did you ever watch much recently, if not a while back, the old Rifleman show with Chuck Connors, is it, and his little son? That guy with that rifle, he did pretty good with that, twirling that rifle to shoot it, cock it, and shoot it there. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't remember who it is, but one of those streaming places that's got the Rifleman series on it, I watched that one too.
I guess I wasn't much of a Star Trek? I used to watch those with Shatner and all that, but to get interested in it anymore, it's like, nah, I don't even care to watch that much anymore. I watched it when I was younger, but it wasn't anything tremendous. You know, worth relating to. I watched them, but in Star Wars, I don't know. I haven't seen one of those in a while. But when they came out, obviously you got to see it because it's something new.
Yeah, that's for sure. I haven't really been a Star Wars fan, but I was amazed at all the video games that kind of sprung out from all that kind of stuff. But, anyway. I'm going to get on out of here, Joe. I imagine if there's anybody else listening, we probably put him right to sleep. And my hand's getting pretty nippy, so I'm going to wander in and warm up a little bit and probably get a little bit of breakfast. So have yourself a good one there, and we'll catch you later. And I don't know if I'm going to fool with that 878 anymore or not. I think I'm just going to leave it as an analog radio.
I don't blame you there, Rick. It's good talking to you and hearing you, and you sound like you're breathing reasonably decent today, so that's good to hear. I kind of sense your, at least your breathing there on the radio, and glad you're still kicking around. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the QSO with you anytime, anywhere. So good to catch up with you. It gives a little ramble pat on the head for me. Tell, hey, this is from Uncle Joe. Uncle to a cat. How sick. Anyhow, yeah, we're probably putting people to sleep or waking them up with a nightmare or something. KEAWOJ, KE4ZYQ, have a good rest of the day and a good day tomorrow. And hopefully we get into 70s temperature. I'm tired of 60s rain and gloom and doom. I want warm weather so I can get out and do whatever. 73, KE4ZYQ, clear, but listening out.
Yeah, next week maybe. Rest of this week, supposed to. Next 3 days is all rain and gloom kind of thing, and still 50s and 60s kind of thing, but I don't really mind. The heat knocks me right out. But anyway, take care, 73s, and we'll catch you down the road. 88WOJ clear. WAFU.
It's no way to talk to your friends.
Uh-huh. What's shaking?
Just going to stop by and drop off an XTR if you were in the hut today.
I have taken today off.
Well, then there's no reason to stop by the hut.
I mean, if you won't be able to get free tomorrow, then I guess you could just, you know where I sit, you could drop it off there. But if you're able to get free tomorrow, then no need to come early. So.
Got it. Okay. Very good. You doing anything exciting today?
Yeah, my son's probably going to help me with some yard work stuff. Worst possible day, right? I may still take another day off this week. I'll probably go in tomorrow, then I may take Friday. If Friday looks like it's going to be a little better. He's on vacation this week and has offered any morning to help me. So there's a few jobs I'd like a little hand with. And so that's kind of the plan for today and maybe another day this week, probably Friday. I don't know. I got to look at the weather.
Very good. Okay, yeah, we'll just
I'll pencil it for tomorrow. My schedule's pretty flexible. I mean, I got things I have to do, but none of them have a time stamp on them. So it'll work out well.
Copy your gentleman's transmission about the transportation of my radio. Thank you both. Have a great day. Your ARCY.
All right, let me get out of here before he gets here. He's just pulling up. Got a little bit of a late start. I was debating on whether to go in, but it doesn't look like the rain's going to be heavy enough to screw us up. So we will talk to you later. See you tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. I've got some other cool news, too, but not for the air. All right, W8FU.
Yeah, very good. Call me on the phone when you get done with the yard work. And I agree with that. Do not give up the kid's help. My son was over here helping me with yard work. Nothing else would matter. So I get it. Cool. Hey, Don. N-A-K-P-P. Hey, Don. Check your email. I sent you two emails. One, the version of the code plug that I suggest and a summary file.
Copy.
I am...
KF8DRC from WDAKLO. Negative copy on the KF8DRC, WDAKLO, frequency clear.
Good job. Did you get on or no?
Well, the digital, it does C4 FM off my radio, but I do have that hotspot so I can cross mode.
You want to try digital? I have digital. I can go on digital.
No, I haven't set that up yet.
How about that Yezu? You think the Yezu will do it too? Or no?
Yeah, they'll both do it. Both radios will do digital.
You ever do it on that 991?
Oh, yeah. Yep, many times.
Yeah.
What radio are you on right now? Yeah, you're cutting out there, Jack. I didn't get the last one.
9600 DYT.
Okay, yeah, got you loud and clear that time. Yeah, it sounded good.
One day it was find out because I don't know what kind of frequency you have on that
I'm gonna give you a jingle on a landline here. WDKLL will be clear.
WTU8X, this is W8DPT out there.
WARJD monitoring mobile.
Correct?
Yeah, like I said, the speaker I had was handed in a 5, not a 6, but it appears to be almost identical. It must be a minor change.
Yeah, I found a 5. All I found was a pin out of the Molex, and it was the same, so I just sent the schematic, you know, the actual service manual for the 6, knowing they were the same. I should have mentioned that, probably. Yeah, so I got that working. The only thing is, you know, it's got a little pot, in, you know, through a hole for volume. I just ordered a different one I can mount, a pot I can mount through the case with a knob. And I'm going to remote that out to the case so I can use it as an actual volume control. Sure, there you go. That sounds like a wiener. But, all right, very good. So, do you have all this stuff with you right now? Yeah, it's all in the trunk of my car. So, we'll set for tomorrow. All right. Yeah, I know the guys are getting together for a ARSPC meeting this afternoon, but I ain't gonna run up that way. So tomorrow it is. Whenever you're in the area. Yeah, sounds good. Do you want to get lunch after I'm done with work? I'm leaving work around 12:30. Okie doke. I'll we'll do that. Come by, and then I guess would we meet for lunch first and then go to shop after? Otherwise it could be, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock before we get to lunch. I don't know. Your call, I don't really care. But it'll change, you know, my breakfast plans. Yeah, I would say right after, before. Yeah. So about the time I get up there, probably 12:45, 1:00. Wherever you want to meet. All right, sounds good. Yeah, I'll be listening. Just give me a call, let me know, and we can find some place to meet. All righty then. See you tomorrow. Enjoy your day off in this lovely weather. Yeah, the worst part is I took it off because my son's got the week off, and this was the day we set aside to do yard work. It's like, great. So we made a couple of compost. You know, we filled up my big trailer with a couple of loads and got them to the dump, but just not a good day to be doing it. Figures. I'm half debating, too, depending on how Friday is, but he's had the week off, you know, and he's not had a nice day in the, you know, the whole time, so he gets a good day, he may want to take advantage. I don't know, we'll see. But I got at least the minimum stuff I wanted to do done. But I'm going to jump out, take one in the back of my throat. I got to go get something to drink before I cough all over the radio. W8FU.
All right. Catch you later.
W3LNS, W4XED. W4XED listening.
NADDF.
It's on loose and free today.
I'm like 5 feet from UMP, so I'd hope so.
Clear, I say 5-9 on that one, KZKGO, I'm running through Armada.
Farmada.
Yeah, buddy, right behind a big John Green truck there. GG.
The only thing I miss about living over there is all my hunting spots.
Yeah, but now you can pop Bandy from the backyard, can't you?
I don't... Yeah, probably. I only got one neighbor that's within 150 yards, and I guarantee she would sign a paper saying she doesn't care. But, yeah, I haven't gotten that far. I did buy a crossbow, though, because I moved here. I'm like, well, if anything decides to hang out in the yard when it's hunting season, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to shoot it.
You're not going to shoot it. You're just going to dispatch its existence.
Well, I'll tell you what, this winter, I will be trapping. I've got coyotes and fox in my yard almost daily. Always when I'm sleeping, of course, midnight to 3 a.m. is typically when they're there. But I get them on camera all the time, and I would really like to trap some of them, so I'll probably end up doing that in the winter, and then that's how I'll dispatch them. I don't think there's any rules or regulations on trapping on your own property.
Well, the red foxes, I think they're protected. But the coyotes, I think, are a different story.
Well, coyotes used to be year-round no limit, and then the DNR got soft, and they reversed that. Last I checked, that's still in place. So there's a season so they can have pups, which is dumb. You shouldn't let them have pups, and you should be allowed to shoot the pups. Sad as that sounds, they do way more damage than good. And red fox have seasons. They have a fur harvesting season. They are much more regulated, much more protected, but they are still a game animal at a point in the year.
Okay, I knew there were limits on both. I just didn't know how that went.
Yep, I haven't shot a coyote in a long time, but wouldn't mind it. Last time I shot one, though, it was at about 2 o'clock in the morning with a thermal. So a little bit different than hoping I see one in my backyard.
Yeah, I know both like to get into the chicken coops and cause some issues. So I totally understand that aspect of it.
Yeah, I'm hoping to have chickens by the end of the year, but with this rain and my yard not getting any progress, I don't know if that's going to happen. But ideally, I'll have a nice big coop up against the house, and that'll bring in all kinds of hungry critters.
KE8VSI.
Come on, Greg, your turn. Welcome to the chat. KCKJO.
Good afternoon. I thought you got a bunch of dirt delivered, Dakota. Did I see that correctly?
Yep. Last week I had a dozer dropped off, and I got 45 trains of dirt. Debating on getting more, and the dozer's not been there because it's been horrible weather and kind of just sitting on a lot that's just got a bunch of piles of dirt on it right now. But yes, so making progress, just waiting it out.
All right, cool. Yeah, the weather's not been great for that. So, but well, baby steps, I guess. It'll be fun when you do it. Anyway, I just wanted to make sure I saw that right and comment on it. So I'm kind of doing some desk work here, so I'd like to jump in and say hello to both you guys. KE8BSI, just monitoring.
Roger, on the flip, Greg. KCKGO. Dakota, with your chicken coop, you might want, instead of being right up against the house, I would move it 10 feet in from your back or side property line. Because if you have it up against the house, now you can have the critters, you know, the ferrets, or not the ferrets, but the weasels and the foxes and the coyotes, but you're going to end up getting some little itty-bitty little critters that like to destroy everything in your walls.
Greg, if you're around later and if I'm awake, I want to test out, I stuff that MCOM in my attic for the time being, and I want to test out 80 on it, so... If you're up for it, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but if it does, I'll be very, very satisfied and probably leave it. And, yeah, that's a good point, Tom. I probably will move that thing way, way back. I don't know. Then I got a trench power. See? No? Yeah. Good thing I know an electrician. It shouldn't be too bad.
Okay, MCOM, I'm not sure what antenna that is, but yeah, I'm game anytime. Just let me know. We shall give it a whirl. And the trenching power and whatnot, yeah, you only get one first chance to do that. I would do that like first, or as early as you can in the process if you're going to put it away from the house, which I would do too. So, fun.
Yeah, the only reason I'm saying that is I had a bird feeder out the front window, and did you know I had mice everywhere in my house. They destroyed books, they destroyed my pantry, they actually chewed into a case of soda that leaked all over the floor. It was a mess, and it was a bear getting rid of them all, including with traps and stuff. They would just sit there and stare at me underneath the house. So, yeah, once you get one mouse, you'll have an entire infestation. You can't get rid of them.
I'm just trying to build my redneck paradise, that's all. Chicken coop's on the list. Yeah, Tom, I remember when I first moved back home from college and got my first place on my own, I called it the Ghetto of Romeo. It was off of Spring Street, and it was an old apartment, which is basically a flat. I think they were quadplex units, and baseboard heat, no central air kind of deal, and it was infested with mice. I'd wake up in the morning with my dog, who was only 4 at the time, and we'd go in the kitchen, and we'd have the smack mice. It was crazy. It was like literally something on a movie. You turn on the lights, mice are running all over the counters. So I would smack them on the floor, and he would grab them, bite them, and kill them, and we did that for a couple weeks until I finally got through to the landlord, and she was in denial, and then they magically fixed some holes on the exterior of the building, and then I didn't have any more mice.
And what they did is they actually dug a hole through my cobblestone on the front. They dug a hole underneath that, came in underneath the crawl space in the living room, and then, because my house is an old farmhouse, so I got a Michigan basement. And, they dug a hole in my baseboard in my bedroom. They're behind the TV eating the cat food. They're eating the dog food. They're underneath the kitchen sink. They were everywhere. It was just, they destroyed probably about 4 or 5, binders worth of paperwork, from everything, so... After I got rid of that bird feeder, and I bought one that stayed up on the tree, and then I put it in the back of the yard, and no more mice.
Yeah, that's a critter I don't want to deal with. I'll deal with the big ones outside that can't get in the house, but I don't like the little ones that can sneak by me.
Yeah, if you do the chicken coop, what you want to do is you want to get some little patio bricks. They're about 6 inches wide. You want to bury those around the perimeter of your chicken coop and create a quote-unquote rat wall, and that'll keep them out. It'll keep the weasels out too, because weasels like to dig.
part I'm looking forward to the most is bulletproofing that thing, because I used to get a lot of calls from friends of mine that had chickens and pictures of headless chickens that are all torn up and not eaten from getting inside. It's always raccoons. So I'd have to go out there and trap them that night or whatever. But a lot of learned lessons, seeing how they tried to keep critters out and how it didn't work. So I agree. I'm going to probably go down 12, 16 inches around the perimeter, and I don't know what I'm going to use, but I would like to go down super deep and then have, like you said, pavers on the top, so if something tries to dig at the surface, they can.
You want the rat wall on the bottom, and then, you know, and then put your coop up on top of the rat wall. I mean, it's fine that you have dirt there. You got the, you know, for them to pick it, you know, scratch it and else like that. For the top of the coop, you want that covered, whether it would be with chicken wire or rabbit wire, whatever they want to call it. That way the hawks and the falcons can't get in there, because those are the ones, too, that are tearing up your chickens, is the peregrine falcons come diving down and they'll grab it, and if they lose it, they already killed it, they just leave it there. And of course, you have to get the coyotes and the foxes and the weasels.
Yeah, I have to go back and forth on, do I build a coop or do I buy one of the pre-made ones that are actually fly that are pretty nice balls to expensive. I don't know, we need to get through this draining process. Convinced it's the leaves, man. I used to be able to run 53 pretty much no issues whatsoever, and then there's a couple spots now where I just drop out.
Yeah, it's like me on Clarkston Road. I do good when I'm up on the hill, but when I drop down into that little valley that's right there, from between Adams Road and Rochester Road, it goes up and down, and especially past the golf course, and it's just dead zone. I'm like below the antenna, so deep that I'm running terrain.
That makes sense. Like, you're changing elevation, you're going behind roads and up, you know, I get it, you're going up and down. I was just driving on 53 just south of 30 Mile Road, and I don't know, just doesn't like it. Although, yeah, I really don't know. I guess I have to switch over to Richmond or Romeo sooner.
Yeah, I can't hit Romeo until I'm actually almost on top of the thing. You know, I know it's a 300 elevation, but still, with all the, with the water tower and all that all around there, all those trees, yeah, it gets kind of crappy. So, but I, but the funny thing is if I hit Richmond, I can hit it from Rochester and 32, and I'm a little bit staticky, but once I hit the Quinder area right there, then I kind of clear up.
If it was perfect all the time, it wouldn't feel like radio.
100% agree with you on that one. That's what makes the joy of the hobby.
NADBF. It's the never-ending game of trying to improve your gear and your antenna enough to have minimal, if any, static, but still appreciating the fact that they're static at some point. Speaking of, have you had Warren crash and hard on you at all?
Honestly, not that I can recall. I mean, there's some sketchy areas when you're on the freeway that kind of buzz around it, you know, because I have open squawks on mine anyways. So you hear, you know, all the squawking and everything, and it just disappears. Well, besides that, I haven't really had a crash on me at all.
It happened a couple times since I left the office. I switched over at Shaner, I think, and two or three transmissions where there was a super loud tail squelch just crashing. I don't know why. And then other transmissions, it's fine.
I didn't hear anything this morning when I was going out to the airport. You know, I didn't hear anything on there. I mean, I've heard it before, but it's, I mean, that's a Quantar, though, so that thing's pretty rock solid. Take an earthquake to take that thing out.
Yeah, I know that's a good machine. I was just wondering, holy crap, what is all this traffic? 53 is backed way up.
Well, let's turn on the good old P25 scanner here and see if I hear anything on MASH.
I still don't know if that's a venture I'm going to take part in.
It's a radio. It's a new toy. I wouldn't mind playing with it. I said I got my SDR sitting on my laptop at home. I got the rabbit ear sitting at the other end of the table. My wife is like, what is that now? I'm like, a toy? So it's all set up for, it's strictly for trunking, and it works phenomenally well.
I'm all for the toys, don't get me wrong, but what it's going to cost to get into P25, I've got other things my heart are set on before I go down that road, like a really, really good HF antenna. I think that's my next priority.
Yeah, when you get a chance, thinking about radios, shoot me a dollar sign on DM. What you want for that for Tevis 3, since you already got it all pre-set up.
I don't even remember what I paid for that thing. I'll have to look.
Well, the TYT version that I got probably about 2-3 years ago, I mean, it's that kind of idle until I met all the, you know, all you guys on FBI when I was off for a while. And I think I got it in Waterford. The guy turned it on, messed with it, said, blah. He was a fellow ham and out of Oakland. And he sold it to me for $60. And that was like 3 years ago. They're probably worth a little bit more now, especially the Retevis 3.
I don't remember what I paid. Mine is the GPS version. But I bought it strictly for satellite work, which you now have my Arrow, so I'm not doing that. And I don't really do any DMR whatsoever, so, and if I wanted to, I've got my Kenwood and Open Spot, so, yeah, it's just sitting in the safe with, what do I have on it? I don't know if I've got, I think I have a BNC connector on it, I might have an aftermarket antenna on it, but I should still have the box and all the factory goodies like the cradle and rubber duck and all that.
Yeah, well, woo-hoo! I have to just check it out on Amazon and then just shoot me something on myself.
Alright, yeah, I'll look into it and see, I'll give you a fair price. I'm not going to get rich on it. I want to say I paid like less than $125 for it, so it's not like it's not some flagship or anything crazy.
Yeah, that's not a problem. You know, like I said, that's all I'm going to use it for. I mean, I got my older TYT, and I use that basically with my open spot at home. But I still carry it on because it's a good radio. I like it because I have UHF and VHF programmed in it, too, along with 51 and 52 on DMR. So I can hit a lot with it. It's a good radio. I like it. It's basically my carry-all. But when I'm mobile, I got the one that Wally set up for me, the XDR. Love that thing for DMR, and that's DMR and UHF analog. And then, you know, I got my Alico mobile, and then my little itty-bitty little Baofeng that I use that as a backup.
Hey, DBF. All right, yeah, I'll find something. I'll put a number together for you. I do have the, I bought the programming cable for it too because it requires a specific Retevis programming cable and I can't remember what the chipset is in it, but it doesn't like a standard K connector cable. So I have that for it too, so you'll be ready to go to plug it in and do the GD77 firmware and, you know, update whatever you gotta do. So yeah. Cool. It'll be yours.
Yeah, mine comes with that specific cable too. It says TYT on it, and of course you're gonna say Retevis because it's basically all it really is it's a USB to mini phono, and then a standard, you know, what is that, 3.5 millimeter, something like that. And the driver and the chip is actually in the radio. It's not in the cable.
I remember buying that, and I was like, well, this is dumb, I've got a million K connector cables, and I got to buy a separate one because it's special, so I've got that, too.
Yeah, it works for me. You know, even my Pro 197 scanner here, I have it's one of those multi-cables, I got it off of Amazon for like $12, and plug it in, it's got the U340 chip in it, plug it in, turns it into a COM port. And I got the mini phono for the scanner and also for the Alico. And then for everything else, you know, I use it for my Baofeng, but for my TYT, I got to use the TYT cable.
Ever since I got my Kenwood THD75, I've been spoiled and I don't want to go to anything that I can't charge or program with a USB-C because the convenience of being at any computer and having whatever I need cable-wise at my disposal. I haven't had a Z-card in there. I don't know why. I've never used it, but just the fact that I can plug it in, load up RT systems, and be done with it is a godsend. But I've got a couple Yaesu analog only. I got a FP60, a VX6R, and I have to do a song and dance to program them. I gotta turn them on, hold down the money button, and it drives me nuts.
WCKTO. I have two ICOM WC2As. I picked up a pair of them with two plug-in chargers and some batteries that are, you know, questionable, but I'll order some later. And those are all hand programmed. You know, I got to sit there, and I get pretty fluent in the hand programming on them. You know, once you do one, you can do a couple of them. And I have a whole box of VX231-261s, VHFs, that I use that USB cable for, and I got the CE99 program, but I need the CE150 from Vertex Standard, but I'm not going to pay $35 just to get that software. I've got to find where I have it somewhere else.
Aren't those are pretty old, aren't they? This is VHF only. Actually, never mind. ICOM still makes the ICOM V86, which is VHF only.
Well, before Motorola changed their website and their member login and stuff, I used to, when I called them up, they gave me a login, I set it up, and I downloaded CE150 and CE99, because I got the 261 and the 231s, two separate types of software, but same programming options in it, more or less, same GUI on them. But that laptop crashed hard. So I lost all my programming and all my information on it. So now I gotta charge one radio, pull it up, and then program all the, you know, and change all the programming in it. But that's for another day.
Is if you get your hands on those install files again, you have to stash them away somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I actually have a file server at home. I got like 4 2-terabyte hard drives in it, and that's all I use it for is file storage on my network. And I forgot to save them over there. I got kind of cocky with that laptop, and then I ended up dropping it, and then the hard drive crashed, and then I had it on another laptop, and the battery stopped charging. It actually swelled up and cracked the motherboard, so I have the hard drive, just don't have the software's in there, and I'm not sure if it's an encrypted drive or not, so we'll find out when I get some new cables. I got to go dig around for all my programming cables for external hard drives.
That might be my least favorite part of amateur radio is programming the damn thing. I just want to use them. But I'm almost home. I'm going to pull in the gas station again here and probably clear out for the rest of the night. I am beat. I bought a Sonos system today for 8 hours and finally won, and then that's when I decided I was going to go home. So, had enough, and I'm going to go home, and maybe I'll catch Greg on 80 tonight. I'm hoping I can hear him, and I'm hoping he can hear me. So, good luck at your meeting, and I'm sure I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll be clear up to yours. And ATVF.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah, when you get on 8, text me, and then if I'm done with my meeting or whatever, I'm going to try to load up my SDR and see if I can dial into 80 meters and see if I hear you guys on there. So, have a good rest of your trip home, and I will talk to you on the other side. 73KC8KGO.
WSBM 993 WATG 959. Yeah. Okay. You got it on out there, Chad?
Wrong service.
Wrong channel. Sorry about that, guys. KF8BLX. Switching channels now.
radar, HA monitoring.